There was a farmer, and the preacher came by to see him, and it was on into the summertime after Sunday dinner. And they went out, and he said, "Come on, let's go out and look at my crop." They went out and looked over the cornfields, and there was abundant yield. Nice and clean and beautiful ears of corn. And preacher tells the farmer, he says, "The Lord got a beautiful stand of corn." He says, the farmer looked at the preacher and said, "Preacher, you should have seen it when it was just the Lord's field." You understand that? Maybe I didn't tell it right. As opposed to letting something grow wild and having all the weeds in it and all that, it's the Lord's field, and unless we take care of it, unless we work in it and toil in it, it's not going to be very clean, right? Paul said, made a statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he was talking to the church at Corinth because they had divisions among them. And this is what he's talking about here. He's talking about the unity of the ministry, the unity of the message, and the unity of the people. And he's talking about, one of them said, "I'm of Paul," and some said, "I'm of Apollos," and some said, "I'm of Christ." And he asked the question, "Is Christ divided?" earlier on. He says, "Who then," in verse 5, "who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Now, I'm convinced that there are many people that are preaching this morning about working and doing, like we talked about last week, and they have this in the wrong context, and because it's confusing to a lot of folks if you don't put it in the right context. Paul's context is that we are working in God's field. God is the one that gives the increase, and we're all supposed to be unified in one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're all supposed to be unified and going towards the same goal. And you, as people that are in the church, are supposed to remember that it's not about the preacher, it's about God. And it's about our work. It's about our being consistent with that one goal. And Paul makes a lot of statements in here that are wonderful to our walk. And he says, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That reward is not a home in heaven. That reward is blessings in the field of your labor. God, you're not going to reap things in the earth and sow them in the earth and reap them in glory.
That's right.
You're going to reap in the same field that you sow in. Where you plant a seed, that's where the fruit will become fruitful. Now, Paul says, "For we are laborers together with God." Now, that's not true in glory. You weren't on that cross. You didn't shed any blood for the remission of your sins. Your blood was not fit to be shed for your sins. Neither could it have absolved you from anything. Except for your life. So the Lord did that by Himself. So you're not laborers together in that field with God, but you're laborers together in this field with God. God provided you a great ground to sow in and to work in. And He says, Paul says, we are laborers together with God. Ye, meaning all of you, are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. You see what He did there? He said that not only are you the field that is to be worked, but you're also, He dealt with both agriculture and architecture. When He said you are God's building. He used two examples of God's people, or putting God's people in those two examples, both as like a field and bearing fruit, and as lively stones build up a house of God. So He says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. See, Paul's not building up the house of God to employ people in order to gain their home in heaven. But Paul did say, I'm a wise master builder. He says that, and that's done according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. He says, as a wise master builder, an apostle of Christ, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. So I think in this context, Paul says, here's the pattern. I go and I have preached to you, I've laid the foundation of the gospel of Christ, and another man is pastoring you. He's building upon that foundation. Doing day-to-day things that are going to edify you up as a building of God. He says, and another man buildeth thereon. And then He kind of opens it up to a lot of all of us, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. I think that not only includes all the ministers and how they build upon the foundation, which is Christ, but each one of us, how we build on our foundation that is Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. He says, you can't lay any foundation better than the one that's laid. Or any other one then that is laid, because it's sandy foundation at best, which is Jesus Christ. And then He hits it. He says, now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. You think about that. What's the difference in all of those six things? Gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble. Well, let's just read and we'll find out the difference. Every man's work shall be made manifest. That means openly known or shown for what it really is. For the day shall declare it, because it shall, it didn't say it might, it said it shall be revealed by fire. Now, if you're wondering whether the Lord is going to try your work, I'm going to calm your or ease your mind about it, or tell you the truth, it is going to be tried by fire. You are going to be tried by fire in this life. It's not a question. He didn't say that you might be, you know, he didn't say if you work hard and you plant good seeds and you build on the foundation good things, you're not going to have any trials. He said you're going to be tried by fire. No matter what you build on the foundation, it's going to be declared by the trial of fire. So you don't even have to worry about that. Just know that trial is coming. And I'm sure you've been through many of them already. And he says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Gold, silver, and precious stones. What does the fire do to them? That's what you build upon the foundation, that's Christ. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Or wood, hay, and stubble. What happens if we build wood, hay, and stubble on the foundation that is Christ? Remember, fire's coming. What's gonna happen to those building materials? The gold, the silver, and the precious stones are purified, and they yet abide by fire. The elements are not, the fire cannot consume gold, silver, and precious stones. It consumes wood, hay, and stubble. How many of y'all would... My granddaddy used to build a fire, and I would have thought he would have been a nut if he threw my grandma, so she didn't have a diamond ring, I don't guess, but if he would have threw that in the fire, I'd have thought he's crazy. You know, you can't make fire with all that stuff. Or you can put a fire on it, but it don't consume. It consumes wood, hay, and stubble. And you're left with nothing except the foundation. If you build on it wood, hay, and stubble. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Do you see how the Lord dealt with this, and he married both his eternal purpose and his purpose for our life all together? And he says, your life is going to be saved finally because the foundation can't be burned up. Right. Your foundation is secure. You're going to be housed in glory with Him because of what He has done. But He married those two aspects of our lives when He says, we need to take heed of how we build upon that foundation, because fire's coming and it's going to be tried. And it would turn out way good for us if we would build precious with precious things rather than stubbly consumable things. It's going to be a blessing for us now. This goes right back into the difference or the separation between having life in Jesus Christ and the abundant life. The things that pertain unto life and godliness, as opposed to the eternal life, not really opposed, but separated from the eternal life that Jesus Christ secured. What about your life right now is secure? I could lose my job. My house could be going up in flames right now. I could, God forbid, lose my wife or children just today. That could be gone. But that wouldn't take away the foundation that God has laid, which is Jesus Christ. It wouldn't take away the eternal life. He says, what is the foundation of God? There's a lot of them. He says, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. I don't always. Sometimes I question my own self. But if I'm building gold and silver and precious stones on that foundation, I have a more lasting substance to go through the fire. That when trials come, I know that stuff won't be burned up, but all the other stuff that I have built upon it, if it's wood, hay, and stubble, it'll be gone. It'll be gone. I think that's what a lot of people have a hard time dealing with when they read the Scriptures. They see things like this, and they're confused about how things happen, how to put things in context. Because they see that God is sovereign in one part, and then the other part it says, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That can't be talking about the same thing at the same time. It's got to be put into perspective. And folks, I tell you, we live in a sin-cursed earth. The reason why there's thorns and thistles that grow up in the garden and the field is because of the fall of Adam. And it is a curse that God placed upon it because of that. And we have to work. And by the sweat of our brow, we have to make sure that the thorns and thistles and briars are out of it. There's coming a day, though, where we won't have to do that anymore.
Right.
That day is coming when we're with Him, we won't have to worry about weeding out the sin in our lives. We won't have to worry about building with wood, hay, and stubble, because there won't be any. But now we've got that problem. We've got that difficult task to get on our knees and weed out our gardens. I'm talking about weeding out sin in our lives. And it's difficult. It's hard. It's hard to live godly in a sinful world, isn't it?
That's right, man.
It's difficult because you're bombarded day in and day out with things that would infiltrate your mind and cause you to go astray from God's love. And go astray from His from His Word, go astray from the prayers that we need to do that are the blessings of our life, that give us the strength to make it through every day. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You know, I look at humanity. I look at people. It's multitudes of people. And I see them out living their lives. And I wonder, do they even recognize God? I wonder, do they even pray? Do they even talk to Him? Do they even have any idea of their situation? I wonder, do they ever have thoughts of their sinfulness? I see people struggling day in and day out. Struggling with their sinfulness and even the godly people. And yet, they have a hard time because it's like, I can get away with doing what I want to do and still be godly. I almost want to think, well, don't you know why these things are coming upon you in your life? I mean, people, let's take an example that could be in any household in this town. Somebody that drinks a lot and goes out and parties, but yet comes to church on Sunday, and then they go out in town and they drink and they get caught driving under the influence, and they get to go to jail, and they lose their privilege to drive, and they lose their license, and they lose their job. Then they lose their house. Then they lose their wife. They lose their family. And then they wonder, why is all this coming upon me? Well, the day hath declared it. The fire has ravaged you, and you had built with wood, hay, and stubble. And it's all gone. Dear children, I know that there's none of you that are given to doing that. I know that there's things that I'm talking about that you are not involved in. But I don't know about you. I might not be doing that. You might not be doing that, but what are we doing? What are we building? Do you have any wood, hay, and stubble that you're building on? Using to build? It doesn't have to be getting drunk out in the middle of town every night. It could be a bunch of things. Are we reading enough Scripture? Or are we just not building anything? Do we just have a flat foundation out there? It's possible. I wonder. This convicts me so bad sometimes about what I'm building on the foundation that I got. And then the fact to know, he says, know ye not? He says, don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. Period. You know, a lot of people do a lot of things and think they're getting away with it, and they're not. They're not. They're deceiving themselves. And I can even go so far as to say to you, I've deceived myself. Have you? Have you deceived yourself into thinking I can do this? It's all right. I've done it. I'm warning me and you and everybody under the sound of my voice that we ought not to think of ourselves higher than we ought to think. We ought not to deceive ourselves. We ought not to think that we're going to get away with stuff because the day shall declare it. Fire's coming. Fire's coming. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Now that's another one of them paradoxes of Christianity, isn't it? If you seem to be wise in this world, become a fool so that you might be wise. You go from seemingly being wise to being a fool. And then when you get down there, then you'll be exalted to wisdom. How many people in the world call Christians and people that have a desire to build precious with precious stones, gold and silver, how many of them to call us fools? Because what we consider gold and silver and precious stones, they consider as wood, hay, and stubble. But in reality, our precious stones are precious stones. Their precious stones are wood, hay, and stubble in the eyes of God. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos, or Cephas or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. How are we going to... What are we going to take from this? I mean, where the rubber meets the road. Where for me, for my life, what am I going to do? First of all, I'm going to have to open my eyes. I'm going to have to open my eyes and look at my field. And I'm going to have to do some assessment of what I'm doing. What I'm building. I'm going to have to look at my materials list and see what I'm working with. Right? And then I'm going to have to look over and survey what I've been building on my foundation. And then I'm going to look at that, and if it's wood, hay, and stubble, I'm going to quit building on that. And I'm going to start building with gold, silver, and precious stones. Good things. I'm going to start looking better at godly things because I know I've been warned by God's word that the fire is coming. You know, I think that happens to us, maybe not daily, but I think this happens to us in our lives at times when fire comes, trials come. Things that we don't expect. I remember when Hannah was so sick and we were in the hospital, you know, and there were very few things that were really, really, really important to me except for being there with her and being there with my family. There was a skeleton template of things that really mattered in my life. That fire kind of come through and burnt some of the wood, hay, and stubble and stuff. I tell you, I prayed a whole lot more then. I sought God's face a whole lot more then. I listened to God more then. I was closer with my family more then. I prayed with my family more then. The wood, the hay, and the stubble kind of melted away. I wasn't worried about office politics. I wasn't worried about really anything except for the ones that were closest to me. And I built on that foundation those more precious stones where I would wake up praying and I would eat praying and I would pray while I was watching her and I would pray while the doctor was coming in and I would pray with the doctors and I would do all those things and I was so engulfed in the love of God that I didn't want to do anything else. And it wasn't long before she got better. And that slowly dropped off, right? And other things were needful. And you do other things. But what about today? Your spiritual perception gets duller sometimes. It gets keener at others. What I want for all of us to do is to look at our own selves and our own lives and our own foundation that's on the inside that God laid, which is Christ Jesus, and see what we're building upon. Because really our life is spent building something. Our life is spent building something. I pray that it's with gold and silver and precious stones. I guess part of that is being obedient to God. Well, I think that's really all of it. All of it's under that heading of being obedient to God. You know, part of that is doing what He said. But really all of it's about doing what He said. And what did He say? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, take up your cross and follow me. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. said, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find that." You know who that is? You know who he's talking about? He's talking about the people that build with gold, silver, and precious stones. That's who he's talking about. That's a discipleship verse. And I guess this was a discipleship sermon. And I pray that the Lord blesses you to recognize what kind of building materials you have, and for you to purge out the wood, hay, and stubble and start seeking the gold and silver and precious stones to put on top and build on the foundation, which is Christ. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. If any should have a desire to follow Him in obedience, be baptized, may you have that opportunity. The doors of the church are open. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.